You know that question on coaches, the managers, coaches round? When Reedy put that together this week, I was really fascinated by it. And we got into a conversation, a few of us, saying, let's assume a coach has got the basic competencies. She knows her job. She knows exactly what the job is. So we're not talking competency to coach the team. We're talking character. What do you admire most in a coach? Look, I landed on somebody who you could really trust. They had integrity because they're going to have to tell you tough things because that goes with the game, right? If you're a player, you know this. You're going to have to be left out sometimes. You're going to have to get bad news of a coach sometimes. So you really want them to tell you the truth and tell it like it is. Simple, clear, so that you get it and you know you can trust them. I had a coach like that once. I had a few good coaches, but I had one guy and he arrived on a Wednesday at the club. And we had a game on the Saturday. We were really useless. We were playing really badly. So he didn't know anybody, really. So at halftime on Saturday, we're losing heavily. Winter's Day, we're losing about 4-0, I think. And he goes around the dressing room. He's quite cross. And he goes around everybody in the team. You and you and you and you and you. And you're thinking, poor. And he's gone right past me. Never said a word to me. I was in the starting 11. Never even looked at me. Went straight past like that. So I'm thinking, God, I thought I was having a mare. Perhaps I'm playing well. But my hubris got carried away a bit. So once he got round everybody and he was going a bit again and he caught my eye and he looked at me and he sort of stared at me and I said, yeah, hi, boss, Graeme Daniels. I don't think, actually, he didn't say anything when he came round the team. He said, oh, yeah, you. What's your number? I said, 11. He said, 11. I knew I was in trouble. 11. I said, yeah, 11. He said, son, he said, I says, Graham, he said, son, son, he said, listen, you can't run, you can't cross, you can't head, you can't tackle, you're not tracking back, and your kit is as white as snow on a muddy day. He said, that's why I haven't said anything to you, and he turned away, and I couldn't resist it. It was out of my mouth. It was too late. I said, boss, can I ask one more thing? He said, what? I said, do you think I've got a future in the game? Suffice to say, 10 minutes into the second half, the hook came out off. Go and have a shower. Nice man he was. He didn't keep me at his football club. And when I left at the end of the season, he said, listen, he said, I like you. We get on quite well. He said, you're a nice guy. He said, listen, I'm afraid you just don't cut it for me. You're not up to the mark, so I can't keep you. And that was it. However nice a coach he was honest, he was straight, he was polite, he was kind, actually. But I couldn't cut it for him, so I was off. Thanks for giving me a couple of minutes, because I think when you're a player or a coach or an official in sport, you get it. Tell the truth, keep it simple, don't mess around. Just let him know the story. Let me offer you something on the heart. If you really want to understand what a Christian is in the world of sport, let me just lay it out before you, friendly, fair, and firm, right? Here it is. Let me put a line up. The Bible says, you might not like this mind. We can't cut it with God. The coach was good. You can't cut it, son. The Bible is really clear. Not one of us can cut it with God. Not at all. And in this line, written by a friend of Jesus called Peter, who saw everything that happened to him and wrote some letters, which are in the New Testament, Peter explains something about how a person gets right with God. Here's the heart of Christianity. Give me a couple of minutes. Let's have a look at it. Look at the end of that. Somebody has to bring you to God. You can't get there yourself. It may be a surprise to you that you can't make your own way there. But the Bible's very clear. Somebody has to bring you to God. You can't make it on your own. You can't cut it. And the one who has to bring you, do you see the start of the sentence, is Christ. Jesus Christ has to bring you to God. It's the only way to get to God. There is no other way. That's one of the three things at the heart of Christianity this evening. If you want to get to God, Christ has to bring you. Why does Christ have to bring you? Here's the second thing about Christianity. Look at that little line just after the beginning. For Christ also suffered once for sins. Christ also suffered once for sins. How does Christ get you to God? Well, do you see it there? He had to suffer once, and that's what the cross is. the great symbol of the cross. Christ dies on a cross. He suffered once on a cross for sins. Sins is a funny word, isn't it? Here's the way I would explain it. Small s, massive I, small n. I at the middle. I'm at the center. God may be there. I don't know what you think about God, whether you believe in him, whether you think he's rubbish, it's nonsense, wherever you are in the middle. Here's what the Bible says about us. Christ has to bring us to God because he had to suffer on a cross for our big I. I'm the center. God is smaller than me. It's my life. If he's there, so be it. But I'm in control of my own destiny. The big I is so big that there is nothing that I can do to get right with God. It's not possible. It's very hard to accept that. I understand that. But if I was acting as a coach in this quiz, I'm saying, well, I'll say it simple and straight. Christ has to bring you to God. The way he brings you is to die on a cross because your, my, I is too big and too vain, and means we can't get to God because we disown him and run the life that we have ourselves. Now, I know that sounds pretty grim news. Here's the last thing I'd like to show you about Christianity this evening. As a thinking sportswoman or sportsman who's really prepared to hear the claims of a coach and say, that's what I think, what do you make of it? So the Bible says we can't cut it with God. Christ has to bring us to God. He has to suffer for the big I. And then look at the third and last point. Look in the middle of that sentence. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. Righteous just means right with God. This, my friend, is the perfect substitution, the greatest substitution in history. The best exchange that ever happened in the history of the world, says the Bible. Here's what happens. God sends his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And he is right with God. He is righteous. He is perfect. There is no big I. He's in perfect obedience to his creator. He sees you and me. And do you know what he does? He says, I'll substitute for Graham Daniels, who is not right with God, because his big I pushes God away and says, I'll run my own life. And God in his own son, Jesus, says, well, I'll suffer for Daniel's big I. I'll take his unrighteousness and he can have my righteousness. He can be right with God. Daniel's can be right with God. That is the greatest substitution in history. The greatest substitution ever made. Sports people like it straight, don't they? And thanks for giving me a couple of minutes. What you really like from somebody, whether you actually find them attractive people or not, what you admire the most is somebody who tells you straight what they have to say so that you know where you stand. I've tried to say to you tonight that we can't cut it with God. Christ has to bring us to God and he has to suffer on a cross because I haven't got it in me to get to God and he won't have anything to do with me. The only way it gets fixed is that he, the right one, Jesus Christ, substitutes for me, the not right one, the big I, Graham Daniels, so that I can come to God because of what Jesus has done as my substitute. You don't cut it, son. So I'm not going to keep you. You're a nice lad, but you can't cut it with me. Good coach, couldn't help me. Did his best, told me the truth, couldn't make me good enough. It was impossible for him. The Bible says we don't cut it with God, but the greatest coach in the whole universe made it possible by suffering for my big I, that he, the right one, became the sub for me, the not right one, so that I could come to God, and so can you. That, my dear friend, is Christianity at its absolute essence, the perfect substitution. Here's a question I'd like to leave you with. Maybe you'll chat with your mates after. Maybe you'll lie in bed tonight and think about it. Maybe it'll percolate through the weekend. What do you make of the perfect substitution? What do you make of that? Could that be true? Could that change your life? Secondly, have a look at christiansinsport.org.uk/more. Clock that, have a good look at it. If you go there, then you'll find a lovely film about George Best's life and some application to thinking about what Christianity and sport could look like for you. And you get the chance to do that in your own time. Hey, if you did choose to listen, I really appreciate it because you didn't have to. And I hope it helps you to see that you may not be able to cut it with God, but the perfect substitute took that away so that you could be right with God. And that is a life changer for millions of Christians in sport. And it could involve you at some point soon.